Hey Nasties, you're about to listen to an episode of She Who Persisted in which we talk about the concept of the friend zone and the quote-unquote nice guy phenomenon that is connected to it and all of the other fucked up misogynistic shit that is also connected to the concept. We recorded this episode a while back and we couldn't have anticipated that the subject would be so current, but here we are. It's the 1st of May 2018, and as you probably all know, a few days ago, a man in Toronto killed 10 people in what essentially was an anti-feminist, misogynistic terror attack. The perpetrator is usually not called a terrorist as far as I followed the news coverage. Apparently you have to be Muslim to be called that. But he had a very clear political motive, and that was his hatred of women and their, or our, sexual autonomy. And the goal clearly was to terrorize women. Now, before the attack, he pledged allegiance to the so-called incel rebellion. Incel, for those of you who are not familiar with the term, is short for involuntary celibate. And that's basically an online hate group of men who want to have sex but don't and blame the women who do not want to have sex with them because they think women owe them sex. Now, some go as far as to demand a government program that provides girlfriends for incels. I am not joking. We probably will cover the phenomenon in more detail in a later episode. At this point, all I want to say is we did not know that the subject we discuss in this episode would be in the news. We wish it wasn't. And that's why we also did not include the whole incel thing in our discussion, but refer back to older cases. Using the concept of the quote-unquote friend zone is maybe the most quote-unquote harmless face of misogynistic, frustrated men who can't get laid and blame women for it. But it is also one end of a continuum. And at the end of that continuum, apparently, is murder. So misogyny kills. We have to keep talking about it, exposing it, working against it, and calling it what it is. And in this case, it's terrorism. Now on to the show.
She was warned. She was given an explanation. Nevertheless, she persisted.
Hello and welcome to The Persistence. This is She Who Persisted, the Nasty Podcast. My name is Beatrice, and as always, I'm here with
Elizabeth.
Today, we are going to talk about the scariest place on earth for every heterosexual man who thinks that women are basically objects to put your dick in.
Yes, and that location is
the friend zone. Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, we are going to find out later that the friend zone actually is also very scary for women because there are so many things that are so sexist and so wrong about this concept on so many
levels. I can't even think that any one thing that's right about the friend zone. So so why do you want to talk why, I mean, aside from being a feminist issue, why specifically do you want to talk about the friend zone?
So the reason why I wanted to talk about the friend zone is that it is a subject that came up recently because my partner has a quote-unquote friend who is more like an acquaintance, and he just keeps on posting things on Facebook about how he keeps getting friend-zoned, about how women are only interested in bad guys, and he's like one of the nice guys. And, you know, he's very, you know.
This is like so stereotypical. Like, he is basically like a case study for the friend zone guy.
He is. He absolutely is. Like, and that's why I wanted to talk about it, because up until this point, I only read about this subject and I never came across anyone who actually believed it existed. But he's kind of the first guy that apparently believes in it and thinks he's a victim of it.
Wow.
So, and that's what I wanted to talk about.
Yeah, no, it's so like, you know, the thing is, I have always been friends with guys.
Me too, yeah.
And I think I had one male friend in like, junior high, high school, who was interested in me, but we were just friends. And he totally accepted that.
Yeah.
And he was fine with it because we had a really good friendship. So, whatever.
Yeah.
And when I got engaged and when I met my husband, he basically, you know, said to my husband, like, you know, don't fuck her over. Like, she's a good person. You know, like a friend would do.
Yeah. So he didn't relentlessly harass you to date him?
No, he did not relentlessly harass me to date him. Like, I
that's good.
The whole idea of that doesn't even make sense to me.
Yeah, to me neither. I mean, I always had a very mixed group of friends, and I've always been friends with men and women and all kinds of people. So it doesn't really make any sense to me either, which is probably one of the reasons why I find it so fascinating. And also, I think the whole idea of the friend zone is like an amalgamation of so many things that are wrong with our society in the way that it treats women and treats also relationships between men and women.
Yeah, absolutely. And the way that those relationships are portrayed in the media, and how we're expected to behave toward one another, and all of that. Yeah. It's everything that's wrong.
Yeah.
There are actually, I think there are a lot of things hidden in our idea of the friend
more
zone.
More or less hidden.
Hidden. I mean, they're not like really hidden, but they are kind of bound up with the idea.
Yeah,
of the
we are not
zone.
Uncovering a conspiracy. It's actually rather obvious.
Absolutely. But the one of the things is it assumes that women exist purely to pleasure men, and that they are objects of desire rather than actual human beings.
Already in that idea is the, like, already hidden in that idea is the assumption that it's something that happens to men, that women are kind of the, because I never see it used the other way around. So it's usually men who think that they are in the friend zone or that they are friend zoned by women.
Yes.
So it's already, it's so sexist to begin with.
Absolutely. I mean, if a guy said to me, I mean, it assumes that men are only interested in sex, that women, you know, that's not something that they're interested in at all. And that when a guy tells them that they just want to be friends, like the woman is like, you know, fine with that. Or that would never even come up for a woman because she would never want to have this like sexual relationship with a guy or objectify him or whatever, which... You know, I mean, I think we've all objectified people to one degree or another at some point in time in our lives. Nobody's immune from this.
No. And it's, you know, you don't necessarily have to be immune to this. It's just important to make sure that things are consensual.
Exactly. And it's okay to think that women actually want to have sex. Like, that's healthy. We are not living in the Middle Ages. We are not living in, you know, a repressive, sexually, well, we shouldn't be living in a sexually repressive time. I know. But yeah, I mean, this is a phenomenon that apparently only happens to men. It's impossible for women to be rejected and told that they're just going to be friends because women are okay with just being friends. Is that?
And it's also impossible that it happens to women because men are always interested in sex. Men just want to fuck all the time.
Yeah.
Which is such a weird idea of masculinity. And it's something that comes up in a lot of other places too.
Yeah. I mean, there may be some biological component to testosterone making men more interested in sex, blah, blah, blah. But I mean, to say that men are only ever interested in sex all the time, that really demeans the complexity of emotional development in men. It limits our ability to see men as these really complex beings, these complex people. And it's, you know, it's a stereotype too. You know, the fact that women are putting dudes in the friend zone all the time, it also suggests that like men are these predators that are always out there. Now, there are some men who are predators, but
so,
you know,
as with all like sexist ideas, it has two sides to it. So on the one hand, of course, women are on the receiving end of sexism. But then again, usually the flip side of it is that it also implies very fucked up ideas about masculinity and men.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, if women are just there to, you know, to pleasure you and just to be the objects of your desire, you know, And I'm also not gonna we'll talk about this later, this like not all men thing, because I don't wanna say that like the like not all men in this context. But I also wanna say like we can do better in terms of our ideas of what we should expect from men, from of what we how we value women, all of that. And the friend zone just really it simplifies it into a binary, and it makes women out to just be these like objects to fuck. So that's one thing. Not to get grab your chocolate, folks, because it's not getting any better. So the other thing is this idea of this nice guy.
It's ridiculous.
Who is really a nice guy until he's rejected by you, and then he starts treating women like the misogynist piece of crap that he is. And the sense of entitlement in this is just ridiculous because, I mean, he was only nice to a woman because he thought it entitled him to having sex. Sorry, dude, that's not how shit works.
And it's not being nice. That's emotional manipulation, you know?
Yeah.
It's not. There's nothing nice about it. And what's also so funny is that, you know, that weird dichotomy that those guys seem to put up in their minds between them and other men who are bad boys.
I don't even know what that means.
Me neither. But apparently it's what women are interested in. They're interested in dating bad boys.
No, maybe they're just not interested in dating you because you are not like...
You're a sexist asshole.
Capable. Yes, because you're a sexist asshole. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I guess the idea of the bad boy is like an emotionally unavailable guy. And that these quote unquote nice guys are super in touch with their feelings and they will totally treat you right. But here's the thing. You're not a catch. You're not a nice guy. If when a woman offers you friendship, you automatically feel like that's not enough for you.
Mm. And you're also not a nice guy if you, when a woman wants to be friends with you, you start trying to pressure her and trying to emotionally manipulate her into a sexual relationship. That's nothing to do with being nice. That's being a predator, basically.
Absolutely. I mean, if a woman wants to have sex with you and doesn't want a relationship, it wants kind of a friends with benefits relationship with you, great. Here's the thing, though. The only reason you think that those relationships are possible and that, like, oh, cool women are open to that is because movies have told you that this idea of friends with benefits is, like, the middle zone of the friend zone. Of, like, I don't have to have a relationship with her and treat her like a human being, but we can be quote-unquote friends and still fuck. Like, if a woman's up for that, great, but don't try and pressure her into that.
No. And also, I mean, in reality, nice guy means treating women like vending machines into which you put niceness until sex falls out, right?
Absolutely.
So it's complete objectification.
It's terrible.
And a woman is not obliged to want to have sex with you just because you quote-unquote invested into the relationship and worked for it. Because all relationships require time and work, and that's what a friendship is. So stop being a creep.
Yeah, no, I mean, like... And the idea of like a vending machine or like a savings account, like I'm investing money and time and, you know, I'm taking you out on like friend dates or whatever. And somehow like this requires that that you give me sex. Because we see this with dating too, right? You know, you go out on a first date with someone, they maybe pay for the meal. And then because they paid for the meal, like you're somehow obligated to have sex with them. Like, sorry, that's not how it works. No, if I'm not interested, I'm not interested. You chose to pay for the meal.
Yeah. And also, I think the concept of the friend zone also devalues friendships, you know?
Yes.
And posits like romantic or sexual relationships as the only valuable relationships, particularly between men and women. And it also kind of assumes that like exclusively platonic friendships between men and women are impossible.
Well, yeah. And I mean, again, we have pop culture to thank for some of that. I mean, the movie When Harry Met Sally, they have this whole lengthy discussion that people can't be friends, men and women can't be friends because sex always gets in the way. Like, okay, well, don't be a dick. Like, choose to not focus on that part and be okay with the like emotional connection that you have with this person.
Yeah. Yeah, and also, I mean, I think one of the big issues with it that is not often discussed with the concept of friend zone is also that it just completely takes away any responsibility from the guy. You know, it's the guy who is the victim and the woman friend zones him. But the point is, if you are offered a relationship, whatever it is, if it's like a sexual relationship or a friendship and you don't want it, you are not obliged to participate in it, you know?
Yeah, sure. If you don't actually want to be friends, like,
then
you
stop pretending to be friends with them while trying to convince them of doing something they don't want to do.
Yeah, I mean, and don't hold out hope that, like, eventually they'll come around to fucking you because, yeah, like, you're just such a great friend and, like, then they'll feel obliged to it. Like, what?
Yeah.
There was this great Saturday Night Live sketch that came out sometime in the last year, I want to say, and it was about, like, guys who are feminists.
Yeah.
Basically. And it was like guys who you meet in a bar who are like, oh yeah, like feminism, great, like the pussy hat movement, blah blah blah. And then, you know, and then they would ask, like, well, do you want to fuck? And you'd be like, no, and they'd be like, bitch, and like move on.
Oh god.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah, this is it. This is like an example of everything that's wrong.
Yeah. I also think that what's also implicit in the idea of the friend zone is that thought that women cannot be trusted with their own choices, or that they never say what they want, or that they can't adequately express what they want, so that a no is interpreted as a please, please pursue me, or being nice is interpreted as being in love or something like that. Because the weird thing about this whole scenario is that the guys consider themselves as the nice guys, while the person who's being nice usually is the woman.
Yeah.
You know, with the guy being very emotionally manipulative.
Oh, yeah. This goes to, like, another point, which is it punishes, you know, we have so many expectations for women in society. Like, you have to be a virgin, but you have to be totally open to having sex. And you can't have too much sex because then you're a slut. But if you say no and that you're not interested in having sex, then you are friend zoning people. And so it punishes women for saying no and taking control of their sexuality and saying no, that I'm not interested in that. But then if a woman expresses an interest in sex, that woman is labeled as a slut. So, like, if she says no, she's a frigid bitch. If she says yes, she wants to have sex, but maybe not a relationship with you or whatever, then she's a slut who you can, again, just use for her body.
Yeah. And then there's also another thing to this whole women cannot be trusted with their choices, because thinking of yourself as a nice guy also kind of has the implication that you know what is good for the woman that you are pursuing, and she doesn't know it herself because she chooses the bad guys when you know that you're meant to be together. But, you know, maybe you're just a creepy sexist asshole.
Yeah, that's entirely possible. So I want to, like, I want to talk a little bit about where the friend zone comes from, like the actual term itself, because it comes from an episode of Friends.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that.
It comes from an episode of Friends where Ross is pining over Rachel, and I think it's Chandler who tells him that it's too late and that he's destined to be friends with her, that he's in the zone, the friend zone. And that he's like, I don't want to be in the zone. I don't want to, like, how do I get out of the zone? But the thing is, like, they've been friends for so long that he's just stuck in this, like, friend zone and they'll never have a relationship. But this is definitely not, like, the first such relationship in the history of romantic comedies. And it will not be the last friend zone relationship in the history of romantic comedies. If you look at kind of any John Hughes movie from the, like, 80s-ish time period, you'll see the same phenomenon. And recently, Molly Ringwald was interviewed about some of these films and expressed concern, particularly in the age of the Me Too movement, about the kind of systemic misogyny in these movies. And she said, I mean, she has kids now, and she is concerned sometimes about having her kids watch these movies because there are things that in the movies that are, you know, in this day and age especially, not okay. And they probably weren't okay for the time period either. But one of the things that she said was, quote, if attitudes toward female subjugation are systemic, and I believe that they are, it stands to reason that the art we consume and sanction plays some part in reinforcing those same attitudes. And so if you look at films and movies that are portraying relationships, particularly ones that deal with the issue of the friend zone, quote unquote, we see that it really basically shows us that the friend zone is there and that it's possible to get out of this friend zone.
Which is the most problematic part of it, actually.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the idea that, like, how do you get out of the friend zone is nuts.
Yeah.
But anyway, so let me, we'll get to that in a second. But Molly Ringwald, she calls into the question the treatment of women in John Hughes films, particularly when it comes to non-consensual sex. But there are also other instances from films of this time period where there's like this friendly, nice guy, best friend geek becomes a love interest. And I think it really perpetuates this notion that the friend zone potentially becoming the non-friend zone and therefore encourages men to feel like they've been, who feel like they've been put in the friend zone to keep pushing and attempting to establish a relationship. And I'm thinking of films like The Sure Thing, Can't Buy Me Love, Say Anything, Some Kind of Wonderful, the last of which is a John Hughes film, but actually flips the script and has a tomboy character who falls in love with her best friend, but he loves somebody else, and eventually he decides that she's the one for him. And even in this case, the woman is the, like, prize at the end of it. Because he put her in the friend zone, but then he gets to choose that the friend zone is over and that he's going to be in love with her. Yeah.
Yeah.
But all of these kind of teen movies from the 80s into the 90s, and look, it's not like it stopped, but a lot of these films have this really problematic discourse that there are these geeky, really great guys who are left behind by this really hot girl, but eventually end up, like, winning the day and the girl.
Yeah, and I... getting out of the friend zone. I mean, it's, of course, this is closely tied to the idea of rape culture, you know, because it has a lot to do with how we, you know, handle consent in relationships and heterosexual relationships most particularly. And again, it has to do with this idea that women cannot be trusted with their choices, cannot be trusted with actually saying what they want, but they have to be kind of pressured into or manipulated into having sex with you. When I googled friend zone, I came across a number of articles. I mean, most of them from, like, men's magazines that dealt with...
Yeah, it's funny that the two types of articles are feminist articles that are telling you, like, stop fucking talking about the friend zone, and men's magazines.
Yeah. And the men's magazines are mostly about how to escape the friend zone. And I actually came across, Jesus Christ, the things that I had to read the past few days. It's just, it was hurting my brain. So I came across, this is actually one of the first pages that came up when I Googled friend zone. And it's a page called muscleandfitness.com.
Oh.
And on that page, there's an article called, Is There a Safe Way to Escape the Friend Zone?
Oh, men are concerned about their safety?
Apparently. They want, I think it's more to do with their reputation than, you know, safe in the sense of, like, without using your face. But
Or not getting raped in the process.
Well, I don't think so. So I read this article called Is There a Safe Way to Escape the Friend Zone? And it starts with, in my opinion, building a friendship first is the best way to start a relationship.
That doesn't sound
well,
bad.
Well, yeah, it depends on your intentions, but I'm just going to continue.
Sure,
there's something
continue.
Incredibly amazing and sweet about a guy willing to put in that sort of time before making the gradual move from friends to something more. Which basically tells me that please try to pressure her into romantic relationships when you're actually friends with her.
So this article is written by Claire Austin. Mm-hmm. So Claire, honey, stop. Okay, continue.
So the first piece of advice that she gives is... get outside opinions. Seriously, don't just say you love her and ask if she's feeling it too. While that's bold, it can very easily backfire. Rather than having a conversation that has the potential to change the dynamics of the relationships in a negative way, why not bring her into your regular friend group for either a dinner or daytime activity, Casey suggests. Have her interact with some of your other female friends or even a married couple. Only ask people whose opinions you really trust. Does she seem into me? Would we make a good couple? So, not your chokester buddy who never takes things seriously, or that lady friend who has had feelings for you in the past. So, the first piece of advice is, don't be honest, don't talk to her, don't treat her like a human being who knows what she wants, but just, you know, talk to all of your friends about it, try to basically find a way into her pants without asking her what she wants out of the relationship.
Well, yeah, I mean, the idea, like, rather than having a conversation that has the potential to change the dynamics of the relationship in a negative way, like, that conversation, that, like, defining the relationship conversation is so fucking important.
I mean, every relationship advice that starts with don't have a conversation is bad relationship advice.
Yeah, fucking have the conversation. Here's the thing. If she says, like, hey, I'm not interested in a relationship right now, like, that's fine. You can still be friends, and it's not a friend zone. Like, that just means you can go and pursue other people. Like, you can be friends with her, and if that friendship is important to you, like, keep on keeping on with the friendship. But, like, you know that there's no relationship there, so start dating other people. Instead of pressuring her into fucking you.
So the worst part about the article actually is advice number 3, because it starts with, go for it. If the signs point to yes, lay a kiss on her. You've probably thought about doing this while you're drunk, but refrain. There's nothing remotely clear-cut about that scenario, and ambiguity is the last thing you want. Do it in a relatively private, parentheses, non-threatening setting, like on a walk or at a house. She may be totally stoked. She may reject you. But once you get to this point and you've asked her, what if, your friendship probably can't survive not trying. I mean, no. You don't just go in for a kiss. That's, I mean, ugh. Yeah.
So, like, kiss her in a private, non-threatening space. What is a private, non-threatening space?
I don't know. Like, she says on a walk or at her house. No. Before you kiss anyone, please just make sure that they consent to what you're doing. And not just...
Okay, sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't.
I'm quoting this because a lot of the articles are like that. And the worst... I mean, okay. It's not the worst thing about it, because so many things about this article are horrible. But at the end of the article, there's also something about the author, you know? And it doesn't say about the author, it says about the hot girl.
Oh, stop.
Yep.
Stop.
So, okay. So this is the kinds of things that I had to read for this episode.
Wait, okay, hold on. I need to... About the hot girl. Claire Austin is a 20-something freelance writer, sports enthusiast, and polka dot loving every girl, trying to bridge the gap between what men know about women and what women wish men knew. You know what, Claire? Here's what I wish men knew. Stop pressuring women into having sex. She gives smart, super honest advice about your biggest dating and relationship conundrums. No, not smart. Not smart.
No, the opposite of smart.
Oh, Claire.
Yeah. Honey. And it's just, I mean, there's really a number of articles on the web that are basically about how men can avoid the friend zone, how they can get out of the friend zone, and all of that shit. And it's usually full of very, very bad advice. And it's just very horrifying. Because there are people who read this.
Yeah, and the thing that kills me, so there's also a lot of, like, articles in these feminist blogs and feminist magazines and, you know, even Slate, whatever, like, talking about stop using the term friend zone, etc., etc. The problem is the dudes who are trying to get out of the friend zone are never reading the feminist articles about why the friend zone is bullshit. They're only reading the articles about how to get out of the friend zone. Because if you are a guy who doesn't use the friend zone as an excuse for why you're not in a relationship with someone, you already know not to use the term friend zone.
Yeah. Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Ugh.
And, you know, this guy that kind of inspired me to do this episode, he also talks a lot about brohood. And
Oh, God, bros. Jesus.
So, and I think that's also a part of this whole concept that there are women, and women are the ones that you are romantically or sexually interested in. And then there are bros. So that relationships that you have with men and relationships that you have with women have to be like two completely different things.
I just don't understand. Like, okay, bro culture is its own thing. I get it. We have fraternities in the United States that sometimes kind of exemplify bro culture. We've got, I don't know if Jersey Shore was a thing in Europe.
No.
If people in Europe watch Jersey Shore.
No.
Yeah. Thank goodness, because that was also the same type of people who would read like Muscle and Fitness magazine and who did this, like, you know, worked out all the time and a very superficial level of relationships and stuff like that. I'm sure the people are very nice and they have evolved past whatever, but
they're beautiful souls.
Yeah, they're beautiful souls. I'm totally like stereotyping them right now, and I'm very sorry for that. And please tell me how awful I am by doing that. But this idea of like bro culture, or brohood or brodom or whatever. It's just, it's like, it's the same thing that we got during the election with like, oh, that's just locker room talk. Like, it's okay to objectify women because that's just locker room talk. Like, it's totally fine to do that. And I think men should hold themselves to a higher standard than that. Mm-hmm. You know, do you want everybody thinking that you're talking about people in a disparaging way all the time? Or do you want people having respect for you? Like, if you don't have respect for women and for other men and for, you know, people as people, then how can I be expected to have any sort of respect for you?
Yeah. And I think that also kind of leads to the importance of men actually speaking up against these things, you know?
Oh, I agree.
Yeah. So it's so important that, you know, feminist men, we need more feminist men. It's so important that when guys come across like men talking about the friend zone and talking about, you know, how they're a nice guy and all the women are not, and like, no, all the bitches are not interested and they all just, you know, are interested in the bad guys. It's so important that the guys, and it's mostly guys who hear those things, because those men tend to not be friends with women a lot, that they speak up, you know?
Well, and it can't devolve into the, like, not all men thing. So have you heard of the not all men hashtag?
I have.
It's become, like, a popular internet meme, but let's, like, back up a little bit and say, like, where it came from. So 2014, a man killed 6 people and injured 14 others near the campus of the University of California, Santa Barbara, before killing himself inside his vehicle. Mm-hmm. The attack began when he stabbed 3 men to death in his apartment, and then he drove to a sorority house and shot 3 female students outside, killing 2 of them. Then he drove to a nearby deli, shot to death a male student who was inside, and began kind of speeding through the area, shooting and wounding several pedestrians, striking several others with his car. He exchanged gunfire with police twice during the attack, and eventually he crashed his car into a parked car and shot himself. So before driving to the sorority house, he uploaded a YouTube video in which he outlined details of his upcoming attack and motives, and he explained that he wanted to punish women for rejecting him, and that he envied sexually active men, so he wanted to punish them for being sexually active.
Yeah. And actually, you can listen to his, because you can look, I think you can still look at the video. Yeah. I've listened to audio, to the audio file, and it's just so disturbing, because it's really like everything that we talked about in a condensed form, just put to its extreme.
Yeah, it's like a kind of a microcosm of everything that, yeah. He also emailed a lengthy autobiographical kind of manuscript or manifesto in which he described his childhood, family conflicts, frustration over not being able to find a girlfriend, his hatred of women, his contempt for couples, his disgust for interracial couples. So he was very intersectional in his misogyny. Mm-hmm. and his plans for what he described as retribution. Yeah. So after the murders, it was revealed that he was active in some men's rights internet fora.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to go into the whole men's rights thing here, because that's like a whole nother episode. But let's just say that they are somewhat antagonistic toward women.
Slightly.
Often viewing women at best as objects and at worst as non-human and certainly lesser than men. Mm-hmm. So these types of jackasses are a very small percentage of men out there. But what happened in response was that men came to their own defense. So like people were talking about how like, you know, about these men's rights groups and like, this is bullshit. Like the dudes are misogynist, blah, blah, blah. And then these men came out and said, well, not all men are like that. And let's be honest. This is like a common reaction when awful things get perpetrated on behalf of like one group of people.
Yeah.
But let me just react to the sentiment by saying, well, no shit. We got it. Like there are not all men are like this. We fucking got it. There are dudes who do not talk about the friend zone. There are dudes who are not misogynist. Like my husband, not a misogynist, like really good guy. But let's turn this around and make it all about men instead of about the like people who were murdered or the like misogyny against women.
Or the broader structural problem that is behind it that actually leads to things like that.
Exactly. Like, let's not focus on the fact that this dude did something awful and that there's a certain percentage of men who support what this guy did. Let's talk about me and how I am representative of other men who are not like that.
Nice guys.
Nice guys. Exactly. So saying not all men really takes the focus off of the ways that institutional sexism and misogyny impact women. And the response to the hashtag was, yes, all women. And it was really similar to the Me Too movement. And it became like a rallying cry for women to show how misogyny pervades their daily lives, including sexual entitlement that's at the center of friend zoning. And like some of the things with the yes, all women was like, you know, being afraid to walk to your car at night, like experiencing catcalling on a regular basis, you know, things like that, that yes, all women experience, because it's not about how attractive the woman is. It's not actually about like sexual attraction. It's about power.
And also yes, all women, because it's not about you, it's about us this time.
Yeah, no shit. I mean, just because he killed men and women doesn't mean that, like, you know, it wasn't about misogyny.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, what is also so scary about this guy, and it's, I think it's a good thing that we don't mention his name, because he also wanted to be kind of known for what he did and notorious.
Of course.
So we're not going to say his name. But, you know, he obviously also considered himself a good guy, because he talks about himself as the perfect gentleman in his manifesto.
Oh, you know what? A perfect gentleman wouldn't mow down a shit ton of people.
Yeah, well, maybe not. But yeah, he keeps talking about himself being the perfect gentleman and how all these bitches just date all the horrible guys and how he would be like the perfect boyfriend, which is exactly the nice guy phenomenon that we talked about. And so on Geek Feminism Wikia, nice guy, and it's usually written down as nice guy TM.
Nice.
Yeah. So nice guy TM is a term in internet discourse describing a man or teenage boy with a fixation on a friendship building over time into a romance, most stereotypically by providing a woman with emotional support when she's having difficulties with another male partner. There are broadly three schools of thoughts about nice guys, TM.
Oh, okay. Nice.
That they are victims of women's irrationality or cruelty. In that women...
Well...
Yeah.
Yeah.
In that women say that they want quote-unquote nice guys, but in fact prefer to have relationships with quote-unquote jerks or alpha males, with the would-be suitor considering themselves to be in the friend zone, a romantic limbo of sorts. Two, that they are using a failed seduction strategy and need to learn or be taught to be alphas or seducers, see pickup artists. By the way, the guy that we talked about, it was also a pickup artist.
And there are movies about this too. There's that Will Smith movie. I think it's even called The Pickup Art.
Like, no. It's called The Hitch, The Date Doctor.
Oh, The Hitch. Yeah. The Date Doctor, which is teaching a dude how to get out of the fucking friend zone.
I know. Yeah. Like pickup artists are also like their own subject in its discussing.
Yes.
So, and then the third thing that they mention is that the nice guy TM strategy of quote unquote doing things for someone so that she will have sex with me, because women do or should reward niceness with sex, is a sexist construction. The term nice guy and nice guy syndrome are used to describe men who view themselves as prototypical nice guys, but whose nice deeds are in reality only motivated by attempts to passively please women into relationships and or sex. Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah. So, and the nice guy seems to expect at some point the sexual quote unquote payment for the kindness and generosity that is their niceness is self-interested, exactly what we talked about.
Yeah.
And that self-interest is also deceitful, because if the man does not reveal his attraction and express his willingness to support his friend with her problems, then it makes sense for her to treat his friendship as genuine and take the offered support, because that's what friendships are like, right? Yeah. So this implicit trait of niceness for sex, quote unquote niceness, because it's not real niceness, is a sexist generalization that women want closeness and men want sex, so they can trade one for the other. And it's also,
not a barter system.
No. And then also, I think that's also a good point, is that they say nice guys TM regard women as being moral guardians, that women should choose the nicest for sex in order to reward them for doing the right thing, which is not how it works. Being nice is just being a decent human being. You don't get a cookie for that, you know?
No, you know what? Your cookie is that you're a nice person. Like, that people see you as a nice person. And when people talk about you, they don't talk about you and say, that dude is a dick. They say, that guy never pressured me into sex. He's a good guy. And you know what? Maybe she might tell her friends about you. Like, hey, I have this really great friend. But maybe she won't. And you know what? It's not her responsibility to set you up with someone to have sex with either.
Jesus Christ.
Just be a nice dude, and nice things will end up happening for you. Period. In life.
I mean, yeah. It's just such a weird idea that being like a decent person is already something that you should be rewarded for. It's not. It's kind of the lowest bar that you can get to, you know?
It's saying it's the lowest bar. It's like, you know, what's the minimum that I can do to like be seen as a decent human being?
And then also what I was like about the wiki entry is that they then continue to say, some men continue to think of themselves as nice guys TM, even as they spend their time using misogynistic slurs to describe their alleged best friends and dear loves. Some nice guys consider themselves heroes for not raping women or hitting them. Some nice guys themselves as guilty of sexual assault because they were gentle with the non-consensual groping, and they equate sexual assault as only being violent and forceful. Some aspects suggested nice guys TM view themselves in essentialist ways. The insistence of being close friends and mutually emotionally involved before expressing any romantic or sexual interest may involve some distrust of heterosexual men's sexuality as inherently dirty or predatory. So exactly what we talked about.
When I'm thinking about the president in the United States right now.
Oh, no.
No, look, he thinks he's a nice guy.
Oh, of course he does.
He views himself because it was like non-consensual groping. Like he's already admitted to that, but like he's a nice guy about it. Like he's willing to get someone a job. Like, you know, he's a nice guy. But here's the thing, like the core of everyday sexism, like sexism that women experience on a day-to-day basis, is like catcalling, groping, othering, dismissing, gaslighting, asking a woman what she was wearing when she reports a sexual assault. The friend zone, all of it is everyday sexism. All of it is stuff that we experience on a day-to-day basis that's like bullshit.
And I think, the friend zone is not only sexist, it's also like a huge part of rape culture, I think, because what those guys, I think, don't get is that it's not just sexual violence when you actually hold somebody down and rape them violently. It's also sexualized violence when you try to pressure someone into having sex with you and when you kind of harass someone.
Well, and most rapes are done by someone who you know.
Yeah.
You know, and so you don't think about like your, someone who you know, like, holding you down, like you're drunk, you're at a party, like you end up like not getting a clear and sober yes, and then all of a sudden like some dude is surprised when like you say like, hey, I didn't consent to that, like you raped me.
And when you are friends with someone and you are continuing to try to kind of, you know, get something else out of the relationship other than friendship, if you try to kind of have sex with someone, or if you try to harass them until they have sex with you, then that's predatory behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's just something that's not cannot be stressed enough that the idea of the rape the rape zone, the friend zone, and that the idea that you are put in the friend zone at the core of this is the construction of male sexuality as predatory and the construction of your own way of, you know, your own behavior in a relationship as predatory.
Yeah. And why would you want to be seen as a predator? Like, that's what I don't get about it. I don't think that guys who focus on this friend zone thing really understand that they're being predatory. They wouldn't define themselves as that. But like,
not at all.
If they did any reading, if they did, were critical, like stepped back from it and really critically read the situation and what's going on, they would realize, like, actually, this is really predatory and I don't want to be seen as a predator.
Yeah, but then again, it's very often considered, you know, romantic when you, as you mentioned, like, think about all of those rom-coms that are about guys just pursuing women and waiting outside their windows with singing songs, and having flowers. It's just... That's creepy.
Shit, the Twilight books. The Twilight books are all about this shit.
I know. Oh, Jesus. I watched you sleep. this whole scene.
Right? I watched you sleep. I'm a fucking stalker. Yeah. Like, you're interested in me and this other guy. Like, don't put me in the friend zone.
Yeah, it's completely romanticized. It's completely romanticized. And that's so problematic.
Yeah.
So, my partner sent his... male acquaintance, the Urban Dictionary definition of the friend zone. And it goes like this. So it's, actually, as you know, Urban Dictionary always has more definitions. And it's definition number 6, which is kind of the feminist one on the page. And it goes like this. The term men use to delude themselves into thinking that they are being too nice because the woman with whom they want to have sex doesn't want to have sex with them. In actuality, when a woman says she just wants to be friends, it means that she's being too nice. She doesn't feel comfortable telling a guy that she does not find him sexually attractive, and she never will. There is nothing a man can do or say to change this, and it's just creepy when he tries. Men who think they are in the friend zone sometimes use this delusion to justify trying to force a woman to have sex with them. The term is a sad relic of rape culture.
Nice. That's lovely.
Men who think they are in the friend zone need to realize that she's just not that into you. They need to put on their big boy pants and go find someone who doesn't find them physically repulsive.
Oh, ouch.
Yeah, it's quite stingy, but I mean, and then the examples are, because of course, the Urban Dictionary has like examples. Yeah. So I'm in the friend zone with Ashley. And then there's no such thing as a friend zone. Ashley doesn't want to fuck with you and she never will. Hashtag delusions. Hashtag rape culture. Hashtag creepiness. Hashtag get a life. Hashtag she's just not that into you.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, I loved it.
So if you want to be a little more uplifted, rather than looking at the articles about men trying to get out of the friend zone, find Google feminism and friend zone. And there are a wealth of articles of like great feminists, and we will link to them in the show notes, of like great feminists who are talking about the friend zone and why it's bullshit. And it will, make you feel better about that, about life, about society, because like all women have probably experienced this issue of a dude saying that he's been put in the friend zone.
Yeah. And actually, I think I'm going to read a few of those hilarious things out to you now, because you're probably, already kind of, choking on chocolate and, you need something to, brighten your mood.
Yeah.
So I came across an article in Cosmopolitan, and it's kind of basically a list of hilarious tweets or like Tumblr posts about the friend zone, and it's called 19 times the internet savagely roasted the friend zone.
So we'll read these back and forth. You go first.
Okay. Number one is, you're never stuck in the friend zone if you value having women as friends.
Holy shit. What an idea.
Well, yeah.
Okay. A woman does not friend zone you. Mm-mm. Lack of romantic feelings is not a verb. You have not been acted against. Her default is not sex/marriage.
And then you say friend zone, but I hear her free will and autonomy is inconvenient to my boner, and therefore she's the bad guy.
Guy asked if I put him in the friend zone, and I was like, whoa, slow down there. I'll have sex with you, but friendship is a serious commitment.
Yeah. Imagine thinking that being friend zoned is worse than finding out someone you thought valued you as a whole person just wanted to fuck you.
Oh. The friend zone is a concept that exists only to, quote, nice guys. To everyone else, it's just being interested in someone who's not interested in you.
The friend zone does not exist. There are people who want you and people who don't. That's it. Get the fuck over it and stop being a baby.
Oh, that was nice.
Yeah.
How to prove that women reject nice guys and date jerks. Step one, ask a woman to date you or have sex with you. Step two, when she rejects you and chooses someone else, label yourself as a nice guy and label the man she chose as a jerk. Step three, confirm your results by finding other men who got the same result from steps one and two.
It's very scientific.
Very scientific.
Okay. And then one that I just love is hashtag growing up a girl. Regretting being nice to a boy because they interpreted basic human decency as you being madly in love with them. And now they harass you relentlessly to date them and complain about the friend zone.
Ugh. If a guy ever tells you you friend zoned him after rejecting him, turn around and look him dead in the eye and say, you have to be my friend to be in the friend zone before walking away.
I love this so much. Oh, God. Okay. And now he's my favorite. Petition to abolish the entire concept of being friend zoned and replace it with fuck zoned. When all you wanted was a friend, instead a dude fuckzones you and reduces your entire being to something he can stick a dick in. Example, I thought we had a meaningful friendship, but it turned out he just fuckzoned me.
Ooh, that's a good one. Let's flip the script on this.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, yeah. The friend zone is bullshit.
It is.
I think we can all agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought this episode was going to be more fun, but it was fun.
Like,
yeah, but it's fun and depressing at the same time. You know, I was just...
Well, look, this shit happens. Like, the idea of the friend zone, of not being treated like a whole person, of, you know, people claiming that they're nice guys when really they're just claiming this, like, moniker of nice guy in order to make you feel guilty and to gaslight you into thinking that you're the problem when he's really the one who has the problem.
Yeah. You know what? My cat today, she ate a toxic plant and then she shat herself in the kitchen. And now that we finished recording this episode, I feel like she already wanted to kill herself because she knew that she will hear me talk about the friend zone for 2 hours and she's just not going to be able to take it.
Yeah.
You know? So maybe it was kind of a foreshadowing of what was about to happen. She's just like, I'm not going to listen to this shit.
Yeah. So if any dude ever tells you that you have friend zoned him or, you know, anyone ever tells you that you have friend zoned? I can't talk English today. Just say to them that you feel like they have fuck zoned you and move on. Walk away.
Yeah.
Or say, we had to have been friends first for me to have friend zoned you and
that's
just
so hilarious.
Skip it.
The internet can be such a great place sometimes, you know?
Yes, it can.
It can sometimes.
Yes.
Okay. Well, yeah. Do you have anything to add?
I don't. Guys who are listening, just be a good friend.
Just be a decent human being and don't think that you get a prize for it. And also if you have, you know, buddies and male friends who...
Dude bros.
Consider themselves nice guys who just can't get laid because all the bitches are uninterested in the bad guys and they always get friend zoned, then just tell them that they're fucking crybabies and need to treat women with some basic human respect.
Or, you know, tell them like, hey, think about it this way. Think of all the friends you've got.
Well, maybe value the women in your life, you know? That's a revolutionary idea.
Maybe.
Yeah. Maybe just value women as human beings.
Yes. Can't we all just get along?
You know what? Stay nasty.
Stay nasty.
Bye.
Bye.
If you like our show and would like to support us, there are two ways that you can do that. First of all, you can rate and review us on iTunes. That really helps us because it helps other people find us. And secondly, you can become a patron or matron on Patreon. That's patreon.com/shewhopersisted. Thank you very much and stay nasty.